That's in the anatomy books now. The tramp area.
Yeah, where you get the stamp.
The doctor.
It's so terrible.
Doctor.
People were getting, back,
it's
right?
in the back, but it's right like, above the why did yeah. those become known as tramp stamps?
I think it should be in the front if it's a tramp stamp.
Who's going to see that? After 10 years, it's going to be under something.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Okay, Hey You Know It listeners, today we have in the Hey You Know It studio a special guest.
A super extra special guest.
Yes. Her name is Jodelle. Welcome.
Hi. Great to be here.
Oh, I'm happy to have you.
Yeah. So, Jodelle, you're a singer-songwriter.
I am.
And we were lucky enough to get a copy of her CD, which is awesome. And I'll try to mix some of that in throughout and give everybody links to that. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself as a singer-songwriter?
Okay. Well, I started writing songs actually a little bit later, you know, in life, maybe about 10 years ago. But I had been playing in bands and singing in bands, and you know, the bands kept breaking up, and then I had to start all over again. And it's like, you know, relationship, I gotta start all over again now. And so I decided, hey, you know, maybe I should just write my own songs. So I started doing that, and I find, you know, it just gives me, you know, more freedom to, you know, make my own decisions and make my own destiny, you know what I mean? And it's fun, and I also like collaborating with people. My last CD, which was done about 8 years ago, I collaborated with a friend of mine who writes really interesting lyrics, and that was fun. That was called The Adventures of Jodelle.
I heard about
the
this.
The cover art for that one.
The cover art was inspired by a French adult erotic comic book.
I was going to say, it's quite salacious, people. You can almost see something.
Yeah. Go look.
Yeah.
So I actually contacted the illustrator of the comic book who was living in Paris at the time. He's a famous illustrator. His name is Guy Payart. If any comic book people out there probably know him. He also did a book called Rock Dreams, where he photographed famous rock stars in different interesting outfits. Like, he put the Rolling Stones in Gestapo uniforms.
What?
And,
Why is that just really a choice for people?
I don't know.
I mean, look, the uniforms are snappy, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, they're really sharp.
Anyway, my point is, you know, the guy is, he was quite creative. So I found his number, because as you know, the internet now, you can pretty much find
anything
about anybody.
More things than you want to find.
Which is kind of scary.
We just found ourselves last night. My husband and I Googled ourselves, and we found our address was on there.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, all the information.
And also, I found how fast I run is posted when I've done races. And so my time is posted.
That doesn't go away. My old race results from, like, 10 years ago are up there as well, when I raced against colon cancer.
So it's...
Against it? Who won?
I don't know.
It was a race against the cancer.
And that was the one that was kicked up by a polyp. It was a guy just like a polyp. Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, you guys are so hilarious.
I found his phone number in Paris, and I called him, and I spoke with him.
Hi.
I was like, hello, hola. No, he was very nice. I explained to him what I was doing and how I wanted to use his images, if possible, for the CD artwork, and he was like, no problem. So I used basically a lot of the scenes from the artwork of the CD, which I have here, I'll give it to you, is me dressed as the main character, who is like this Barbarella / Wonder Woman kind of character, who's like, you know, she's out to protect men. So I love the whole idea of like this woman, superwoman kind of
protecting
character.
Man.
Yeah, so,
the men of
right.
the world.
So
but
that was
sexy.
Yes, sexy, but, you know, dangerous. Same time.
Yeah.
So that was a really
sexy
fun project.
Sexy but dangerous.
Yeah, that's what we strive for here. You know it. Sex and danger.
Sex and danger.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with those two.
So your family wasn't musical at all. You're the only one, right?
Yeah, I mean, my immediate family, my father plays a little bit of guitar. I mean, but nobody professionally, no professional musicians in the family on either side.
So when they heard that you wanted to do this, what did they say?
My parents were very supportive. I mean, they kind of were hippies, you know. Okay. Grew up in the
70s.
They're
like, just don't be a lawyer, please.
They,
don't be a lawyer.
You know, they just they really never said don't do that. So they were always very supportive. I went to Ithaca College to study audio engineering, and they were supportive of that because I just wanted to be involved with music in some way. But I thought, well, the audio engineering at least might be a little bit more stable than performing. Yeah. So I have that, you know, I did that in school, and you know, so I have a degree in audio engineering. That I don't use on a daily basis, but at least.
But still, no, you know. You're a do-it-yourself kind of person. Yeah. So, I mean, you're recording your own?
I record a lot of the demos at home, like very basic demos, because as you know, equipment gets out of control. It's you have to keep getting more and more stuff.
Except for us, we have the same laptop
but that's
from like
great.
5 years ago.
It's either keep it simple or go big.
Yeah.
And so I do a lot of my demos at home. And then my producer, who has a full-blown, beautiful studio in Pompton Plains, New Jersey, his name is Chris Badami. His studio is Portrait Recording Studios.
Portrait.
He's a great guy. He is super nice. We've become friends over the years. We go out to dinner, he and his wife and his little daughter and my husband. We hang out aside from, you know, working together. So I did The Adventures of Jodel with him, and now with this new record, Better Than Okay, I went back to him again. And
so I have to ask, because I was perusing the website, and it says on your website that you performed in front of a naked audience.
Yeah.
The audience was naked, or you were naked?
I was not naked.
Okay. No. Not that kind of show, people.
Not that kind. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was performing with, I have a friend, Denny Bonet, who is a violinist, a rock violinist. She writes her own music. And so for the past 8 years or so, I've been on the road with other musicians backing them on keyboards, accordion, vocals. And so as part of, you know, one of my backing gigs, we went to West Virginia to this naked, resort. Avalon.
But wait a minute. It was like a weekend naked retreat.
Yeah, it was
like
people go there on vacation.
Okay.
And they're naked.
That's fine.
It's not like
in
a
my
commune.
Mind, like most naked resorts are like in the Caribbean.
Right.
What time of year was it? Because it's humid in West Virginia in the summertime.
It was in the it was the summertime.
There's mosquitoes.
Yeah. And okay, so let me just paint you the picture of us driving into the resort. Okay, so just picture this. It's pouring rain. We're driving in this van, right? And we're all just trying to imagine what this is going to be like. Because, you know, you think, I was like, oh, yeah, this will be fine. I'll take the gig, you know.
You were told beforehand that nudity was going to be in the audience.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Like, this is
hilarious.
A naked place.
Okay.
You do not have to be naked, but you will be performing to naked people.
Okay.
And so we were like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
If you're nervous, you don't have to imagine them naked.
Exactly. Exactly. They should be the nervous
ones.
It's
not a tough crowd. Right? They're already halfway excited, probably.
Exactly.
They're relaxed.
All right, so we pull up, we have to go register. We still haven't seen any naked people yet. So we pull up, and there's a guy in the car next to us, and he's got his shirt off. Excuse me. So we're like, oh, okay, he's just got his shirt off. Well, he gets out of the car, and bong, everything's just out there. Our first, did you like my sound effect? Our first naked person.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so then it gets better. All right. They have no power because they have
this. It gets
this,
better.
Yeah. Banging. No. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Just play a couple chords right there.
It gets better. So there's no power, so we're not able to perform that evening as planned.
Oh,
so we had to perform that evening and then the next day. So they're like, just go to the dining hall. You know, we have a nice buffet in there. Have some drinks. Have some food. So we go in, and it's all candlelit. You know, people sitting around tables. And you can't quite see anything. It's nice and dark. So you're like, okay, this is good. We'll ease into
Everyone
this.
Looks good.
Everyone looks
light.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, we're having our food. We're having our drinks. Like, all of a sudden, the lights come on. And it's like, like the psycho sound effect, and you look around and you're like, okay, here we are. We're surrounded by naked people eating dinner and having some drinks.
And you guys are fully clothed. And we're that's
fully,
the best part.
Yeah, we're like, fully clothed.
Wait a minute. There's a rule here.
Yes. At least off the
first,
shoulder.
Right. First rule of nude club.
Yes.
Be nude.
So thank goodness we didn't have to be nude. Although, I think we would have probably looked a hell of a lot better than half the people that
were. Oh, well, that's the thing with a lot of these nude places. It's not about being sexy. It's about being naked.
That's right.
Yeah, the freedom.
And it's not about the sex at all.
No. No.
At all. And they are adamant
yes,
about
these
that.
Are naturalists, right?
Yes. Yeah. So the next day, we have this really nice performance. It's a big barn with a proper stage and sound and, rows of chairs and... We did our performance and,
it was a good audience, good crowd.
And they were happy and there was a guy actually in the doorway of the barn standing, shaking, dancing.
I was going to say, were they dancing?
Yeah. There was a little dancing. So, anyway, that's the naked story.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's cool.
It was, it was an experience.
I bet. I can't imagine. I'm just, because for me, when I think about people being nude, it's on the beach.
Right.
It's not, in a barn.
Walking around.
Walking
around the campus.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were swimming pools there.
Right. There's some bodies of water.
Yeah. So, they just enjoy being naked.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. I'm thinking mosquitoes. I'm thinking splinters because I'm thinking West Virginia.
Right, yeah.
I'm thinking, animals.
It was pretty hot.
Yeah.
It was pretty hot.
And muggy. Well, I guess they didn't probably know about that heat. They were butt-ass naked.
Yeah, so that was definitely an experience to put on the bucket list and then check off.
Yeah. New crowd, check, done. That's awesome. So are you touring right now with this? What are you doing with this new album?
With the new album, I'm getting ready. I'm preparing and booking some shows right now and getting ready to do a tour. So if people want to check back at the website, jodell.net, you can get updates, sign up on the mailing list, and then whenever I have anything coming up, I'll send an email out to people.
Very cool.
And listeners, guess what? You can get a free CD of Jodell's.
Yep.
Only if.
So what you have to do is always a catch people.
Yeah. Go ahead to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. And we'll not only read it on a show, but you will get Jodell's new CD and a Hey You Know It shot glass.
Yes. So you can drink and enjoy some good music at the same time. Courtesy of Hey You Know It.
The CD Better Than Okay. So how could that be bad?
Right.
That's right.
You're going to be better than okay.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have that shot glass.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. You're going to have a nice Hey You Know It shot.
That's right.
And you're going to be better than okay.
That's exactly
I like it.
How can you lose?
Better than okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Excellent.
I have some beer news.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Oh, God. All right. This is a segment.
It's my personal segment.
That Jaquetta thinks is a segment,
yes.
But it's really not.
It's not a segment
It's
at
not
all.
An official Hey You Know It segment,
no.
But Jaquetta thinks it is.
This is unofficial.
It's called beer news.
Beer news. So I have something here. We all like to drink beer. What's your favorite kind of beer?
Currently, I like Belgian white.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Belgian white. It's like Allagash. Allagash white or...
Beer connoisseur.
Blue Moon.
Nice. Katie, you like Blue Moon. I've seen you drink.
I drank a few.
So this is a space beer. And it's so called because they've actually brewed it with lunar dust. I don't know how I feel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it says they're brewing beer from barley grown at the space station. And someone has also been dunking meteorites in wine and drinking that as well.
Ooh.
I don't know why.
Oh, it's a great opening for a new sci-fi movie.
Yes. So it says here.
It came from the bottle.
The people at Dogfish Head acquired ground up lunar material. Acquired sounds like stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they do, take a spaceship and go.
They claim they have some friends who work at NASA. You know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Marty, the guy who sweeps up afterwards.
Yeah. It's like, oh, here's some dust. Taps
here,
his room a little
put
bit.
Put it in the cup.
So they've been adding it into it. Says our, and also they have a beer koozie that goes with it. That's our friends down the road at ILC Dover, a company that creates spacesuits for NASA, helped us get a rare ingredient, the meteorites. And then they use German malts and all that kind of stuff. But then they've also gotten some beer koozies made from the same material as a spacesuit. for your lunar beer.
All right, then.
So it's, it says the koozies can withstand temperatures from plus 100 to plus 250 to negative 250 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
And also it shields the beer against micrometeorites flying at 10 miles per second. And it repels solar radiation.
It so sounds like we covered. Need to have that.
Yeah. Well, there are only 10 of these available.
What?
And if you want to have one of them, you have to have it at their bar. And they ask for your license.
Okay. What?
And I'm like, who cares about that? You can have my license. I can get another one. I'm taking off with your beer koozie.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't
exactly.
matter.
How much is the beer koozie? Are they charging for the beer koozie?
That you have to, like, it's like
you
you're
have
renting.
To give it back.
You have to give it back. So
how much does it cost?
It doesn't say. They said that you give them your license, they'll give you the koozie at the bar, and then when you're done, you're supposed to. Yeah, so the license is kind of a collateral. Like, anyone right. cares about that? I've lost my license like 10 times. In the past
I would think
years.
They want a credit card.
Yes. Doesn't that make
instead
more sense?
Of a license.
Right. Or like a friend?
Yeah.
Or
like your ring.
Yeah, your ring, like something important.
Give me your watch.
Yeah.
But no, something that
something of value.
If you had like were at that bar and you saw the guy with the beer koozie
you
and
swipe
he comes
it.
Comes up to you, does that make him sexier? Or sexy at all?
What if you don't even know what it is?
Right.
I mean, it's
so then it's like pointless. So you're like, oh, you have a koozie? Who cares?
It's gotta say something like NASA
right.
on the side, but I'm still gonna think it's just a regular
right.
beer
Ooh.
Koozie with something printed on it.
Are
Maybe
you
they should have
man?
To wear like a hat, like
yeah.
a space helmet.
They
yeah.
should
so
have to be with the right stuff. They have to walk yeah. in slow mo.
Right.
A bunch of guys with a beer koozie, like,
yeah.
yeah. Otherwise,
not
it's not gonna work. So, I mean, would you drink this meteorite infused Cabernet Sauvignon?
I like cabs.
So that one, yes.
I mean, I don't know. Are there side effects?
It doesn't say. Well, we won't know.
We won't know. I think this is the test.
For years from now, I think they're trying it out on you. They're gonna slip it in your drink and see what happens to you.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It will actually. Some meteorites are supposed to have healing properties.
But how do we know? This is just
yeah.
some dust from random meteorites.
Yeah, we don't even
what
know.
What if it gives you like a kidney stone?
Yeah.
Yes.
But it could be
crystallizes in this.
It says here, who wouldn't want to drink a pint that has mingled with the dust from billions of years of solar system evolution?
It doesn't sound
yeah.
doesn't sound appetizing.
I think dust
to me.
Is kind of what makes it not sound so great.
They should probably call
womp.
It something, you know, more luxurious.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, like essence.
Yeah.
Meteor.
I like that.
You always
meteor
come up with essence and you know, meteor essence of meteorite.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Greek goddess or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So I don't know if this stuff is available. We're in New York City, so I'm sure if it's not anywhere on Earth, there must be at least a pint of it around here somewhere.
We're going to find it.
I'm definitely going to find this cab.
Are you going to drink it?
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to steal that beer koozie if I can.
Okay.
Because that seems like the important thing here is that we've got this. I mean, my beer needs to be protected.
Right. Well, yeah.
At different
you
got to
protect your beer.
Yeah, and so that's my non-segment.
Oh.
Beer news.
Thanks for the non-segment.
Beer news.
Okay, I have some advice.
Sweet. So Advice on Advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet, and it's unqualified.
And it stinks.
And it stinks. And we improve upon it by giving advice on that advice, hence Advice on Advice. So Jodelle is going to
okay.
hop in with us
right.
on this
whenever,
advice
yeah,
on advice
I'm hopping
whenever
in.
She feels
okay.
free.
Okay, so I'm going to read the question. This is from Dear Prudence.
Oh, wow.
And then the advice given.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we will rip it to shreds.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We will give advice on it.
Yes.
We will gently.
Yeah. Rip it a new one.
Yes.
Because it stinks.
Gentle ripping.
Yeah.
Dear Prudy, I am hoping that you can help solve a disagreement about the social etiquette of flossing. Since
flossing jig on the cover of Fortune? Like flossing?
Flossing teeth.
Your teeth. What? Stop. This is something that, do you floss with other people? I floss alone.
I know.
What's
there is no way.
Like, what's the etiquette is I do whatever the hell I want in my bathroom.
Yeah,
I'll
right.
do it.
That's right.
Naked, doing a jig.
Right.
It's fine.
Since
that's
flossing.
That's your next gig.
I'm going to jig and floss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since flossing is so boring, but also very important to dental health.
This is a dentist.
Yeah. I have developed the habit of flossing and using a gum scraper while I watch television.
Alone in your hovel,
I don't know. Combining my dental hygiene and my penchant for bad television has done wonders for my dental health, but there's one problem. My boyfriend finds it completely gross and rude.
And I agree with him.
Yeah. He is a great guy, and we've been dating for over 4 years, so I'm willing to compromise and refrain from my dental routine while he's in the room. However, Is it really that gross to floss in the same room as my longtime partner? I'm flossing to get rid of the microscopic bacteria that builds up.
This person has a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
We know why you're flossing, lady.
Yeah, there aren't chunks of corn cob flying onto my boyfriend's lap.
You don't know that. If you've ever flossed in front of a mirror, you look in the mirror and you're like, that's why you shouldn't floss in public.
Yeah, I would never floss when we had company.
Oh, God. I hope not.
How'd you get away? How come you're not married already?
But I feel as though the standard should be more lax with a live-in boyfriend. Am I wrong? Or is my boyfriend being a neat freak?
A neat freak.
Joe, okay. We'll let you take this one.
Okay, I don't even know what to say.
Wait, no, I have to give the advice. And then we have to give the answer.
That's right. And then
we all will chime in on our answer, too.
Sorry, I got excited about that because I'm like, really? I'm just imagining the same person clipping their toenails.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And she signed off, dental health enthusiast. So, dear enthusiast, you've made the right decision not to sacrifice your boyfriend's mental health for your dental health. We all need to...
I'm trying to hold back.
We all need to floss our teeth, clip our toenails, trim our nasal hair. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm not a 60-year-old white man. I don't need that yet.
But these acts required to make ourselves presentable can be repulsive when done in the wrong setting. What?
Oh, no.
Disgust is an emotion that has to be learned.
I don't know about that. I feel like the first time I saw someone clipping a toenail, I was thrown off by it.
I hate the noise of the clip.
Yeah, I didn't learn that. Insane.
People do that in jury duty all the time.
People do it on the A train all the time. Clipping their nails.
Anyway.
That's gross.
What is considered abominable in one culture is acceptable in another. This article says that in many Asian countries, public spitting is fine, but the idea of blowing into a handkerchief and putting it back in one's pocket is sickening.
That's also gross.
Who uses handkerchiefs anyway?
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a 60-year-old guy who's clipping his, his
nose hair. Right.
Who does that? It's called tissue paper.
No doubt your boyfriend, singular, appreciates the results of your oral hygiene, but he is so discomforted by the process that it's not in your interest to make him watch. My stance may be hypocritical since I defended romantic partners letting farts fly in private settings.
That's a little bit different, don't you think? That's an involuntary action.
Yeah.
And it can be bad if you don't release that wind, as it were.
Yeah. There's a difference between having a laugh at a certain inevitable body function or being forced to sit through extended personal maintenance.
I mean, first of all, in defense of farts, humor.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Always funny.
Always funny.
Always funny, rarely not funny.
Yeah, you don't see it in a comedy movie, in a light comedy, somebody flossing and getting that as a psych gag. That doesn't happen.
No.
So we're going to let farts go.
Farts are always funny.
Yeah. Farts are funny.
Yes. Although women don't fart. Just let's put that
no,
out
we
there.
Don't.
No.
No.
Never.
But if you can't hear it and in the presence of a woman, something else has happened. The chair has been moved. The shoe was new.
Someone, the floor creaked.
Yeah.
It was a creak of the floor.
Someone sat on a duck.
Yeah.
That's right.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Okay. So, would you floss in front of somebody? On the couch?
Not on the couch. Like, if I'm in the bathroom with my husband, you know, we're brushing our teeth together, we're just kind of, like, getting ready for bed, then, you know.
Yeah, but just, like, lounging out, you're
amongst
the pillows and blankets.
This is an extended floss, though.
With
this is not just a quick, so this person has multiple instruments of flossing.
Yeah, it seems a little obsessive to me.
How long does it take to floss? I mean, I floss on a regular basis, and it doesn't take that long.
No, it's about 2.5 minutes, maybe.
But I will say that pieces do fly, and that's the point. And that's why you do it in the bathroom. It's because it's supposed to fall, hopefully, into the sink.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're doing
it on your mirror.
On the mirror, and then you wipe it off.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you're sitting at the couch, say you're watching CSI, I'm assuming. You're just having a good old time, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Well, I'm getting a little sick thinking about it, too.
I
think you need to, like, maintain the romance in the relationship.
Keep some mystery.
You gotta keep some mystery going.
So, what other mysteries should we keep secret as the lady in the relationship?
I think picking your nose has to be kept secret.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just put that out there that nobody needs to see that.
No.
Right. No matter how you do it.
Right.
No matter how you do it.
That's a closed door function.
It happens. You know, and it's like, you don't do it while you're watching TV with your partner, I think. But especially if your partner, there are some things that aren't disgusting in the broader sense, but like sometimes you just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see people doing their ends, like picking off the ends of their dead hair. Have you ever seen this? I've seen women do this, split ends, and they're like picking them off.
Ew.
You never seen that?
No, I don't
now
do that.
I'm gonna,
I don't
now
even
I'm
do
gonna
it.
Be seeing that all over the place.
Well, you guys have clip. I've never seen you have split ends. It's the first time I've met you. It seems like you keep good grooming. You know, you get trims.
Yeah,
but I've seen
yeah.
women who have split ends, and they pick. You know, they
I didn't even know
off.
That was.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, me either.
I'm gonna say for this advice, she should just tell this woman this. No, if it's creep, obviously her partner has said something to her.
Right.
Like you know. Stop it. You're ruining CSI. I don't know why I'm stuck on CSI. you're ruining CSI for me. He doesn't like it. Why
right.
not just get up and go in another room?
And I like how she brings the other cultures into it. Like, oh, this is acceptable here. And
well,
there.
They do
it's
it there.
There. Yeah.
yeah, there's some things you have to compromise in the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a big issue. Do it somewhere else. Move on.
It seems like, though, this is something she really, really wants to do in the living room for some reason.
Because
I feel like personal grooming is in the bathroom.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, keep all that in there. Make your bathroom like a spa. That's what she should do. Make her bathroom more comfortable to be in.
Yeah.
So she wants to be in there to beautify herself.
But
and
the TV
keep her
in
hygiene
there.
Together. Yeah, right.
Well,
maybe
wanna...
she wants to be watched by her boyfriend to do that.
Oh,
maybe
she's,
there's
a
something
boy,
that...
she's a voyeur?
Maybe that's
her
thing.
Boyfriend's the
her
voyeur.
Her boyfriend.
And she's
but
the
he
exhibitionist.
Doesn't want to see it. He doesn't
yeah.
want to see it.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Expose something else sexier.
What
yeah.
is the other thing she's using? She's using
a tongue scraper. Yeah.
I heard that those were BS, that you can just brush your tongue.
Again, you know what? I'm so sorry I brought this in because I'm getting like nauseated.
Let's move on to something.
And that's our advice on it.
Yes.
Oh, I like that one though. That's such a weird one to write
that
in.
Is
like,
weird.
I wasn't sure about this in my personal life. Let me write in.
Yeah.
Let me write
this
in and find out.
This person has way too much time on their
hands. Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. I mean, the flossing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Okay, I have a Hey You Didn't Know It that's kind of the tales related. So Hey You Didn't Know It is a segment that we do where we find news of the oblivious living among us. And so maybe this will dovetail with your tales. So I found this on the internet. It says a Montana health employee, she's working in the government office, was punished for hiring a paranormal team to catch her office ghost. Really?
What?
She didn't know that was going to happen?
Wait a minute. Wait.
So
the office ghost?
Yes.
Come leave him alone.
The city employee in Butte, Montana was reprimanded by her bosses after she let Ghostbusters set up an infrared camera in her office building.
Oh, see?
John DeMari, co-founder of the Butte Paranormal Investigative Team, they're brand new, just 2 years on the job, told the news he's convinced the place is haunted. So it says here, that it's a nonprofit, the Butte Paranormal Investigation Team. It's a ghost-busting nonprofit.
You don't have to mention that it's not profit.
They want people to know it's a nonprofit.
Okay.
They're doing this for the good of mankind. He said that he's been hunting ghosts for more than 2 years. So apparently this woman was upset because she said a lot of strange things were happening in the building. She heard strange noises coming from a part of the building. And she allegedly told the team that people from that part of the building where she was hearing the noises from were angry all the time and acted aggressively towards coworkers. It's a government office.
it's not the ghost.
Yeah.
Right. So she called in the Ghostbusters and had them come in. This is a government building, so you're not really allowed to just have people make decisions.
Come on in.
Yeah, come on in.
And set up cameras in our government building.
Yeah, so they came in, they set up the infrared cameras, and they did some research in the building, and DeMari, the guy from the nonprofit Ghostbusters, said that the office building was constructed in the 70s, and before that, a lady had spent 80 years of her house living in a house that stood on the same spot. So this is not like your usual Native American burial ground or like slave burial. It was just like someone's house was there before.
Okay. So
they know nothing about the woman.
So
they're
the
just
ghost
saying,
is, but the office ghost. I just like the idea.
Yeah, it's an office ghost. So they set up so the infrared cameras, and then they set up something called the Ovilus X, which is a digital ghost detecting device.
Nice.
I want one.
And he said that they recorded it, and they said, I understood words, but I didn't know what they were saying. Which
is, okay. All right.
Yes.
Why? Were the words all just word salad?
He said he'll never know. And then the reason why they got busted, the Ghostbusters got busted, because someone in the office was like, yo, there's a camera in here. What and thought someone was trying to, you know, do something untoward in the office, like they were being spied on.
Oh, like that, yeah.
So they, because it's a government building,
right?
Right? Well, so they complained, and then the woman got in trouble. So I say this is a hey, you didn't know it, because it's like, really, lady? Like, you didn't know you would get in trouble for this? She's lucky she didn't get fired.
No kidding.
Yeah, she had someone come into her office after hours, a government office, and set up cameras to find ghosts that are supposedly making government workers cranky. How bizarre is that?
But that's why all government workers are so cranky.
Yeah, ghosts. Because of ghosts. Clearly.
Ghosts aren't really the culprit for a lot of things.
It's not just the fact that the job stinks and that it's boring and that people are harassing you all day long because you're in a government position.
Yeah.
It's clearly ghosts.
Not live human beings.
No, not the people who come in.
Right.
No. You know, not your boss, not that schmuck in IT.
Yeah.
Right.
Ghosts. Actual ghosts. She got a written warning.
If it made her feel better, you know, I say... All the power to you.
Right.
I mean,
you
should have
known you were
going
to...
Can you imagine going to your cube and one day and you see a camera up there and you're like, what the...
Right.
Like, what's going on here?
I know.
Like, why is there a camera?
She should have at least asked permission or told people about it. So
yeah.
That, you know.
So they could have said no.
Right.
And then this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Or maybe they've been like, yeah, cool.
Sure.
Because the government spies. Why should they be offended that somebody's spying in one of their own buildings?
I think because they were looking for ghosts is the problem. I think that would have been the sticking point.
Yeah, right.
Something tells me there are already cameras in the building, but not infrared cameras.
Infrared.
Yeah.
Not ghost detecting.
Yeah, not ghost detecting cameras. And then there's a picture here, but it says the employee suspected that ghosts were haunting, and then it says the ghost not pictured.
Ghost.
That's just stock footage of a ghost.
Right.
It's not the actual ghost. But then it said, too, that the ghost got away scot-free, which made me think, what does scot-free mean? I'm going to have to look that up. Because a lot of times we have these terms,
say,
horrible, you know, like the origin
like, where
of
did this
guy.
Come from?
Yeah, what's
right.
scot-free? Like, is that offensive to Scottish people? Do they care?
Scot-free.
Scot-free.
I never really thought
it's probably
about
offensive.
It really is.
Like rule of
probably
thumb.
Is. Okay. Like, what is the other one that's offensive that you...
Oh, heebie-jeebies was offensive.
Yeah.
Anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Interesting. The origin of it.
Yeah.
The people are using it not
There's
in an anti-Semitic way.
There's a lot of things
way,
that we say I don't think we even know where
yeah.
they're coming from.
But scot-free, I was thinking about it because I know that there's some negative stereotypes around Scottish people being cheap.
So it's scot-free.
Yeah. Like, it's totally free. Like, no one's ever going to pay for it. It's that cheap. It's scot-free. Like, it's not just free. There's no internal or external payment. Nothing's going on.
It's just yours.
Yes, scot-free.
Oh, God.
You know, with a little jig, maybe. Who knows?
Flossing jig.
Yeah, flossing jig.
We can get to tails.
Okay.
All right. This is going to be really involved because it combines a listener email
mm-hmm.
with advice.
Wow.
With a tails and
wow.
another tail on top of it.
Katie's killing it.
Wow.
I'm doing a quadruple today.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is an email. I realize I have to read the whole email because it goes into the whole thing here. Patricia, our listener Patricia.
Oh, sorry. I'm like, what? Patricia, okay.
You remember Patricia.
Yeah, good old Pat.
Yes, so she's one of our listeners who sent us emails before with links to things.
We love to get emails from people who are doing our work for us.
Yes.
If you could just record that segment and just send it in,
that'd
be great. That'd
be
put
perfect.
That out there. Hey, you didn't know
less
it.
Studio time.
Yeah.
Okay, so Patricia writes to us. Okay, so here is the advice
okay.
from Patricia.
Thank you.
Okay, dear Prudence, my mother-in-law hates me and makes no bones about it when she and I are alone.
Wow.
Ooh,
usually
yeah.
people do it like you know.
Secretive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has a cat. She's like, bitch.
Mm. Uh-uh. You?
I wish no. I wish my son was gay now. That's how much I hate you.
My husband doesn't believe me, and she even gloats about that. We have to
what a bitch.
And we have to attend family functions at her home about once a month.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be more frequent, but after I put my foot down, my husband agreed that monthly would be sufficient.
She needs to put the other one down and just do holidays, right?
Right. The problem is that after each visit, I wind up with a bad case of diarrhea, and my husband does not.
Swift plates.
Yeah. I don't know.
A little Visine in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if the other in-laws are affected because if I asked, it would get back to her.
I would say poison everybody.
Right? I suspect that my mother-in-law is putting...
Fire with fire.
Yeah.
I suspect my mother-in-law is putting something in my food or drink.
Mm-hmm.
Last time, I barely made it home before being struck down.
Is she a witch doctor?
Now, I consider getting some adult undergarments to make sure I don't ruin the car's upholstery on the ride home.
Oh,
whoa.
It's that
so
bad?
So this isn't
yeah.
just some laxative action.
Yeah.
This is explosive.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any other advice? running for the hills.
Don't ever go back there again.
Yeah.
So Prudy says, "Dear Running, in that great old Cary Grant movie, Suspicion, director Alfred Hitchcock has a scene in which possible murderer Grant is bringing a glass of milk to his wife, played by Joan Fontaine." Yes. Why do we have to know this one?
Yeah. Because she has to fill up the words. great film, by the way, though.
"And no beverage has ever looked so malign. Just as Fontaine wasn't sure if she was being poisoned, you aren't either. Wait a minute. We're not sure. It's possible that you've entered a Pavlovian cycle in which when you eat at your mother-in-law's food, your digestive tract automatically goes into overdrive."
I mean, we've all been nervous and had food. It makes your stomach upset, but it does not... I'm not running for the hills.
Right. Yeah, right. Every time. It's every a physical time. Reaction.
Yeah.
"Or is there some ingredient she regularly uses that poison. Doesn't agree with you?"
Poison.
The Visine, like you mentioned, right?
Gets the red out.
Gets everything out. Yeah. "It's also possible she's trying to harm you."
Thank you.
Really? Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I've been reading a fascinating book, The Poisoner's Handbook.
I have that. It's fantastic.
Really?
Her mother-in-law's in there. In the addendum in the back. Every month I get a new piece. Last week was your mother-in-law, bitch. Wake up. She's trying to kill you.
She's got the Visine.
Yeah.
Peek at your mother-in-law's Kindle to see if she downloaded this.
Really?
Maybe she should look at her computer history.
Maybe she should just not eat there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely a touchy subject.
Yeah.
I would totally eat right before.
Right. And be like, I'm not hungry.
Mm-hmm. And then go home and see what happens, see if it's this Pavlovian cycle.
Or I would give the plate to someone else.
Right. That's
a good idea. Yeah.
Like switch my husband. Plates with your husband. Yeah. You don't believe it? You eat this then.
Yeah. And let's see what happens.
Have some claret.
"The next time you go for dinner at her house, after the food is served, but before you begin eating, you and your husband should agree to swap plates and cups."
Yeah.
"And if your mother-in-law screams to her son, don't eat that."
She comes running from the other room.
She comes running and knocks it out of his hand, and it's like spills all over the place.
Not you.
Case closed, Sherlock. "Of course this would require your husband to take your concern seriously. It's alarming to think that your mother-in-law might be deliberately sickening you. Equally distressing is the fact that your husband does not believe when you describe her malicious
behavior." That's what
behavior.
I'm saying, because he knows what his mom is like. He's trying to...
Do you think he does?
I think deep down, maybe. Mm-hmm. He's just in denial. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who goes to their in-laws once a month?
Right.
Yeah. For dinner?
Move away.
Further away.
Yeah.
I have some friends who have issues with their mother-in-law. And I'm like, we're all adults. Just don't friggin' go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't go. What are they going to do? Unless they're paying you rent.
Right.
Right. Right.
But it's stressful then because it could cause marital issues.
Your husband doesn't believe you.
True.
Yeah, it does, because you're now upsetting this dynamic in the family. And if you bring it to light, when you're the one that is the one that says, hey, this is going on,
mm-hmm.
you're the bad guy now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't have kids, lady.
Right.
If you haven't already.
This isn't going to be a marriage that lasts. Let me see.
As usual, the Hey You Know It advice is get a lawyer. Lawyer up.
Right. Lawyer get your up. Finances in
yeah,
order.
Yeah, get your house in order.
"You need to tell your husband that after becoming repeatedly ill at your mother-in-law's house, you have become afraid for your health. Tell him you're also afraid for your marriage because he apparently believes you are a liar, mm-hmm. which you are not when it comes to his mother."
True that.
Yeah. "Say that he needs to take seriously the fact that she says ugly things when you and she are alone."
Record it.
She should record it.
Yeah.
On the phone. On her iPhone or whatever.
She could get one of those spy cameras, too, and just put it in her...
Just be totally kitted out, like MI6 or whatever.
This is a
just
whole...
totally wire herself.
Yep. Wire, like Serpico.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So it's so much easier to blame her and tell her that it's her Pavlovian response.
Right. Yeah.
Or that she's just imagining
she's
it.
She's crazy.
Yeah, you're nuts.
She's the crazy one.
Yep. The mother-in-law
That's
is writing this column. Somehow.
All right. So
it makes me love my mother-in-law that much more, right? I have such a great mother-in-law.
Do you?
Yes.
That's
very
rare.
Lucky.
It's rare.
She's not poisoning you?
She is one. My in-laws are wonderful.
That's awesome.
So your digestive system is great when you're over there?
You can't wait to eat food.
They take care of me. It's like,
oh, wow.
You know,
see, this is how it could be, lady.
It could be heavenly if you have the right family.
Right. People. We don't do much with my husband's family. I don't do much with my own family. We just kind of keep it small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's food isn't good, but it's not because she's trying to poison us.
she's just not a good cook.
Yeah. We'll die from the cholesterol.
Yeah. The lard.
Yeah, the lard.
With lard, like,
yeah. You've never seen anyone fry broccoli before. That's the whole other thing. God. All right.
Okay, she says, you know, you can't stand for it anymore. If that doesn't result in his attention and concern, that you may need to move to your mother's.
Huh?
Or have your mother take care. Now, so Patricia now wants to say something in the email. So Patricia writes, I don't know if I would have taken her completely seriously. It's such an odd thing to do, to purposely give someone diarrhea continually. I mean, it's quite malicious. Even if you either kill, I feel you either kill someone outright or get bored of constantly trying to give them the runs. I mean, you're not even there to cackle at her cramps.
But that never gets old.
But
for some people, just the
they're just evil
being mischievous.
Yes,
and thinking about every time she comes, like this woman is
like,
forced
she's
to come
like,
over here.
Ha, ha,
yeah,
ha,
and she's
ha, ha.
Yeah. So I think it's never going to get old. I think she's going to keep doing. Or as in some cases in the Poisoner's Handbook and Elements of Poison, you're not giving the person enough. Sometimes people are building up tolerance to things. And you're trying to kill them. Like, it happens all the time with what they used to call inheritance powder, which is arsenic.
Okay.
They weren't giving the people enough. And then over time, they were building up
an immunity,
like Rasputin.
Okay.
And then they kind of couldn't be killed by whatever they were giving them.
Wow.
So it could be that.
But Patricia's saying that, you know, luckily Prudence doesn't just think this is, you know, someone with IBS and cranky in-laws. So, you know, Patricia had something to say, too.
Patricia gave advice on advice. What?
Yeah.
You go, girl. So, this goes into tales?
Yeah, because she also says, Patricia goes on, okay, now I'm feeling part of the family. I also want you guys to look up the great red long leg scissor man for Tales from the Campfire.
I was like, where is this going to go?
Where are we heading?
Yeah.
It's really just a fable, but it's lovely, and the book has other creepy things in it from Victorian times.
All right, cool. So dovetails into our next segment, which is my favorite segment, which is Tales from Der Campfire. In Tales from Der Campfire, we take folk tales, folklore, fake lore is another.
Fake lore.
Tales of the supernatural, ghost stories, urban legends, whatever, and we tell them here around the digital campfire with a lot of interruptions and editorializing.
All right. So, I'm getting my marshmallows.
Yeah. Katie is going to deliver it today, so gather around, everyone, for chaos.
Gather around the campfire.
Yes.
Listeners, gather around. Crackle, crackle.
Yes. I play crackle in the background, and there's also sometimes a wolf.
Awesome. Okay, this is the great red-legged scissor man.
Does he have a large penis? Because that usually happens. It always in our tales from the campfire, somehow a phallus gets into it.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Basically.
That's what we're really afraid of.
Right.
Like, keep that thing away.
By leg, you mean.
Okay, his culture. He's European. Attributes.
Excuse me? He's European?
He's European.
That's a lot.
He's a giant.
He's a German. Is he?
Right.
What specific type of
European? Italian.
His attribute. He's domestic. He's a domestic haunter.
Okay.
And his behavior is he's a haunting... He's basically, okay, this is a 19th century bogey used to scare children in England and Germany.
Because children need that.
Okay, it features in a story by Henry Hoffman published in 1847.
Okay.
A boy named Conrad always sucked his thumb.
There you go. Already.
His mother warned him if he did not stop, a great man with large scissors would come and cut it off.
Ouch.
And that's the... This is...
Ooh.
This is him.
That looks creepy.
It's like a Grimm's fairy tale.
Yeah, but the little boy's hamming it up a bit. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And the little boy's
like, wait. Can we talk about this for a minute?
So the picture is basically of this extremely tall, lanky, maniacal-looking fellow with a large pair of scissors that are just at an angle to
chop his thumb off.
But he also looks like
a
he's
penis.
Giving some Irish with his hat.
Yeah, he does look a little Irish.
Yeah.
Like a creepy leprechaun.
Yeah,
a tall, thin leprechaun.
And what is that around the little boy's neck? What is it? It's like a little sailor.
It's a pussy bow. That's what it's called, people.
A pussy
bow. Yeah. That worked in textiles. It's a very large bow
that's
been tied.
It's a large, floppy bow that someone has around their neck like little boys. It's a pussy
it's
bow.
It's called a pussy bow. Sorry.
Oh,
seriously?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my God.
And he's a very ugly little child, so.
That's the real problem. They should have cut his head off.
Right.
Why stop at that?
And then behind them on a shelf is a cat. Like, oh, my God.
Like, meow.
And then on top of that, even the guy in the painting, looking at the long-legged scissor man. Like, whoa.
So this is the long-legged scissor man. It attacks children who suck their thumbs.
Yeah, and cuts off their thumb. So don't suck your thumb. Can you imagine? Who's sucking their thumb? It's like a three-year-old, right?
No.
3 and 4?
I remember there was a kid in my class in kindergarten, and he sucked his thumb a lot, and he was angry. You know these some kids? He had like a mono brow, and he just looked pissed.
He was just angry.
And because of, and he had an attitude, and like none of us liked him, but he used to suck his thumb. And they would always be like, oh, you shouldn't suck your thumb because blah, blah. And I was like, well, you shouldn't suck your thumb because you're going to have buck teeth.
Oh no.
And by the time we were in fourth grade, not only did he look angry, he looked like an angry rodent because his teeth had made a break for it.
Now, why aren't the parents doing something to, you know?
Well, they were.
He was headstrong. He wouldn't stop it. They used to put hot sauce on it.
Really?
And like, he probably just developed a taste for hot food.
They should have busted out the story of the long legged scissor man. Like, you're going to cut it.
But you suck your thumb because of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to frighten you.
It's worse.
What about the other thumb is?
Right. Like, I'm going to put my foot in there, too, now.
It's so
hard. Like, oh, yeah? Screw you. I'm going to do it.
I'm going to suck everything.
Anything I get in my mouth.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I just remember him being so angry all the time. And he was literally one of those kids like, hey, can I play with you? We're like, no, dude, no.
It's too much.
Your attitude is too much.
Your energy is.
Yeah, like, smile.
Just
like,
I am.
Yeah, he was very aggressive and just angry. And who knows what he's doing now. He's probably doing IT. He's probably doing IT, you know, with one hand in his mouth.
I like that too.
Yeah,
that's
interesting.
Play for nothing. I won't play for nothing. Play for nothing. She said.
And this also comes from Carlo DiCarlo.
Okay, CDC.
Yeah, he is our. You may not remember Carlo DiCarlo from our Nick Cage episode, where he is our Nick Cage theorist.
Yeah, he's not an expert; he's a theorist.
Yeah. So Carlo didn't know this, but I took it off his Facebook page.
Okay. This is pirated information.
Yeah.
Is it Nicolas Cage related?
No, it's not. But I took it off him.
But when you put it out there, people, it can end up on Hey, You Know It.
Yeah, there's a couple of scary stories here. So this one is called Photographic Memories from Annie Bananas.
Okay.
I grew up
a pseudonym. Clearly. Or she has
a family name.
She's of the Remington Bananas.
I grew up in New Mexico and was always very into the outdoors. Hiking, camping, rock climbing, etc.
Mm-hmm. You get it. Base jumping, sure.
One summer, I was 19 and I went on a 4-day, 3-night camping trip near my parents' house on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Might sound weird, but I had always been to this area many times and was quite safe.
The 3 days camping by yourself is weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, no, 3 nights.
I would never do that.
Why do you have to do...
Why alone?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
Anyway.
Flossing. With impunity.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't care.
She went out there to floss on her own.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she was told.
She needed a break.
Yeah, she needed a break.
She needed her
personal space. Can't a woman floss, like, in the wild? Without everyone getting all crazy about it?
Just need to floss.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Everyone.
Floss.
Anyway, I brought my camera and I took lots of pictures. When I came back and developed my film.
This is a while ago, huh?
Yeah. There were...
film?
Someone asked me that the other day. They're like, oh, what, do you know, have I had any film canisters? I was like, for what? From an SD card? Like a film canister.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Film canisters, right. So I came back and developed my film. There were 3 extra pictures that I didn't take of me.
Dun, dun.
Sleeping.
Ew.
One each night.
So this is pre-selfie.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah, none of my stuff was missing or stolen, but nothing happened. And nothing happened, but it freaked the hell out of me.
That is creepy.
That's a really creepy one.
Can we see the pictures? Or like,
there's no picture.
There's no pictures. No.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
So who was it? Someone had to come in there and like...
Each night.
She's sleeping.
But here's the thing. Were they good pictures? Were they well lit? Did she look attractive?
Is she drooling?
Yeah.
It's the creepy sleeping photographer.
Yeah.
He goes around from like 10 to 10.
He probably heard you flossing. It was like, I gotta get over there.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Yeah, all right, here's one called The Wrong Parents.
Okay, well, that's how I feel. My life story. Did I write that?
By Lady Stoneheart. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. That would be me. That is my pseudonym. That's actually tattooed as a tramp stamp on my tramp area. Yeah.
Your tramp area.
Yeah.
That's in the anatomy books now. The tramp area.
Yeah, where you get the stamp.
The doctor.
It's so terrible.
Doctor.
It's in the back, right?
It's in the back, but it's like, why did those become known as tramp stamps?
I think it should be in the front if it's a tramp
stamp. Who's going to see that? After 10 years, it's going to be under something. Maybe people are getting it back here because it doesn't sag.
I don't know.
Supposedly, it's always the same.
Because they're always,
who knows?
Yeah, let's not.
I'm not going to get into it.
Go there.
I have my theories.
You have your theory?
I'm not going to tell you.
You think they fell and someone was like, fuck it. Anyway.
All right. When I was little, I used to wake up in the middle of the night and go into my parents' room and sleep next to my mom.
Okay.
One night when I was about 5 or 6, I had this really vivid dream where I woke up scared and went into my mom's room to sleep with her. When I went in, however, there were a set of parents on the bed and a set of identical parents on the floor.
Okay, was it the 70s? This was like the Bob and Ted and Carol and Alice.
Was there like a bowl of keys?
Yeah. Was everyone wearing smoking jackets? Were the women with mustaches and the men wearing like blonde wigs and makeup? Who knows? Give people a break, lady. Just experimenting. There's nothing wrong with it.
I instinctively knew in my dream that I had to wake the right parents because the wrong parents were evil.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose parents on the floor. Why would you do that?
I don't
know. Clearly not.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember thinking that the evil imposter parents would try to trick me, so I chose the parents on the floor.
Okay.
When I went over to the parents on the floor, they both opened their eyes, and where their eyeballs should have been, it was a bright glowing red light. And that's when I actually woke up. Being a scared little kid, I of course went right into my parents' room to sleep next to my mom. There were a set of parents on the bed and a set of parents on the floor.
Wait a minute. Oh, this
okay,
is like,
so she dreamt about what she just said.
A Mobius strip of a story.
Yeah. I literally pissed myself.
That's the best part. So this, can you imagine? So, someone just had a key party there, like, we can't make it home. They're like, fine, leave the Impala outside, just crash on the floor.
Right, yeah.
They wake up and some kid's peeing on them. This is like the worst sex party ever. They're being responsible. You know, it's a two-bedroom house. Where else are they going to be?
Right. I mean, let the kid be there, too.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of party.
If that's the way it's going to go.
And kid, this is your chance. Get rid of the first set of parents.
Yeah.
Go with the other.
Go with the other one. The ones with the glowing eyes.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. Right. Who knows? You still got two parents. Be
that's
thankful
right.
Is
yeah,
what
be
I
grateful.
Say. Yeah, be grateful. Right. Some people
stop
have
complaining.
Some people have my parents. Look, don't complain. Yeah.
Just how lucky I am. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
If people want to find you, once again, where can they find
you? Yes, they can go to jodelle.net, JODELLE.net. And my new CD, Better Than Okay, is available on iTunes and Amazon and all different kinds of places.
And is your older work is also available?
The Adventures of Jodelle is also available on iTunes and Amazon, so they can check that out there and sign up on the mailing list so they can get news and info coming up. I have some really cool stuff in the works and on the horizon. So
And don't forget to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review, and you will get a Hey You Know It shot glass, and
you'll be better than okay with your Better Than Okay CD
for free.
Yes.
And there's only 5 of them, guys.
Yeah. Oh wait, 4. We just got an email. There's only 4.
Yeah, right.
See how that works.
You better hurry.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks!
Oh, God. We should have a segment, The Week in Bigots.
Yeah, I want to find that. Let's do it. Week in Bigotry. I'm just curious because there are probably some things that I'm saying all the time.
Yeah.
And there's some group that, you know, there's someone from, like, I don't know, like a Persian that's like, really?
Right.
Did you have to say it like that?
There's always going to be someone offended by something,
yes.
I think.
But I want to know who I'm offending specifically.
Yes, some really mainstream things that we were all saying.
Yeah.
Right, that we
that's
shouldn't
good
be saying.
Point.
Okay.
Like some Polish stuff.
Right, we'll make
the
a list.
Week in Bigotry. We'll make a list.
We'll make a list.
It's probably every word we say. Like,
word.
Even bigot is offensive to someone, you know. My grandfather was a bigot. He's a nice guy.